be a part with me by turning our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Seeking not my own profit is what we're going to be making mention tonight. And so as we turn our Bibles there, I would invite you for the standing and the reading of the Word of God. We're not going to read a lot of verses, so you may be encouraged tonight. But here, I want to read, if we may, just only three verses. Here the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me in verse 31 through 33. The Bible says, "Rather therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all in the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and I believe, Heavenly Father, that you're already working in the midst of our hearts. I believe, dear God, that tonight you are here and you're ready to heal some things in our hearts. And Lord, as you begin to mend some things in our lives tonight, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be strengthened and that we would understand that, Lord, we will see you face to face one day. And Lord, it should be as Christians, that is well with our soul, rather life or death, that we understand that we gave you all our all to be what you want us to be. And so tonight, Heavenly Father, as we take this look, we're not looking into the church, but we're looking into as individuals, that we may display the right testimony for who you are. And tonight, dear God, I pray, God, that you would help us to believe in that very thing. To believe in you, that you are the God that you are. And to know, Heavenly Father, that you'll work in the depth ends, the deep ends of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. And so as we look into the Bible tonight, we look into a way, as Paul makes a illustration here, not seeking my own profit. Today in the church of God, there are many folks that seek some type of profit. Rather they are in a church service, rather they are in some type of leadership, they are seeking some type of profit in their lives. But Paul clearly illustrates that the profit that you and I seek should not be for ourselves, but it should be of God. It should come to who He is and what He stands. And so in these writings, we learn of this example that Paul gives. Verse 31, it says, "Rather therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Might I tell you, if you just allow me to tell you, that simply means, in translation, whether you study the Bible or not, that simply translates to you and I that whatever you're involved in, whatever that you intake in your life, whatever that proceeds out of your mouth as a testimony, whatever comes out of your heart, it should be to the glory of God. And if we live our lives not seeking the glory of God, we're living in vain. We are causing a damage to the house of God. We have come to be, as the Bible says, a stumbling block to our own selves. And yet God called us to have a certain attitude. In fact, really, God called us to be an imitator, and that is an imitator of who he was. Paul says, be of me as I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I want to do my best to bring all that out. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Keep your verse there. Amen. Why am I too loud? Amen. Just turn me down just a little bit. Turn with me, Philippians chapter 3, and look with me in verse 17. Keep your place there, because we're going to come back. Philippians chapter 3, I'm almost there, amen. And Philippians chapter 3, look with me there in verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. Brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You want to know how the church should be. You want to know how we should be in the society. Well, here Paul says, hey, follow us together. Follow me. Follow the leaders. Follow the men of God. Follow the women of God. And let's mark ourselves and be the example that God has placed in the society. You say, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that today we really don't have the example of men and women following the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have is we have men following men. Now Paul says, follow me, go with me. And I'll bring it out to you. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Like I said, keep your place. We're going back. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me there in verse 1. Paul makes a startling statement to you and me. He says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to follow some man of God, but it is wrong that if we begin to follow a man of God and he gets astray, he falls off, he falls short. Listen, bottom line, we should not just simply follow man. We ought to have men that they can set that example of Jesus Christ. But hey, nonetheless, there should be no following other than we follow Jesus Christ in our lives. Go with me to Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9. I lost my place over there in Philippians. Philippians 4:9. Here, look what the Bible says. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I want to bring this to you today because church should only be represented by men and women following Christ. Amen. If you and I lose the ability to follow Jesus Christ, we have lost the value of our church. We can follow men, we can follow women, but I want to encourage you as your pastor that we follow Jesus Christ. It ought to be that the pastor should be able to knock on your door and find out from a biblical point of view how you're following the Lord Christ. There ought to be some evaluations in my life and in your life that we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can have the church name on the building, and you can have a local assembly, and you can have all the singing and all the preaching, but if there's not followers of Jesus Christ, it's not a scriptural church. There ought to be some folks, men and women. There ought to be some children learning how to follow a man of God, a man or woman, so that we may follow Christ and bring honor and glory to His name. We ought to be imitators. Imitators that have a right attitude. One, I want to bring out to you here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 of our scripture tonight. Again, keep your place there. Here, we look in verse 31. Look with me. The Bible says, "Rather therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." What does that simply mean? In everything, we should be learning how to glorify God. Amen. May I tell you tonight that glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ takes time. Takes practice. There's going to be mistakes involved. There's going to be forgiveness that needs to be made. There's going to be, let's back it up and try it again. Decisions. And you and I, we need to understand that here the Bible clearly states that we, whatsoever we do, no matter we think it, no matter we say it, no matter we feel it, everything in our life should be where it's glorifying the Lord God. And so tonight, Paul's trying to bring us a message here because people are paying attention. They're watching your Christianity. And today, people are either deciding to live for Jesus Christ or they're simply deciding to make a mockery and make a reproach of who Jesus Christ is. And we don't find that in the world. We find that in the house of God. And so here, Paul, look with me in verse 32. Says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Simply means, give no reasons. Give no reason, give no explanation that we cause a reproach to God. Don't blaspheme His name in the house of God. And you and I, listen, I want to say that when it comes that you and I, when we come to church, it ought to be that, as the Bible says, we're not giving offense, we are giving a defense. We're defending the Word of God. We're defending how we ought to worship God. We're defending how we ought to reverence God in this house, in what God has called the local church. And that's something that is a upon every man, every woman, every child's responsibility, that we're not giving offense. We're defending what God gave us. We're allowing it to make a difference in our life. It changes us. You know, I'm grateful for the church tonight. I'm not talking about just this location, this assembly here in Flatlock. I'm talking about the family of God. I'm talking about that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to really know what true worship is. We're going to really know what it means to be sorry for our sins, to recognize who Christ was and what He really did on the cross. Then at that moment, you'll know what it means to worship Christ. Because you'll fall flat on your face. You'll spread out those arms. You won't have rebellion in your heart. You'll do it willingly, because then you'll see who your Lord is. And you'll see the scars in His hands. And you'll see the scars on His face. I'm sure you can, when He ripped out His beard and tore His flesh, you'll see all kinds of scars on Christ's body. And you'll know it was then He did it for me. Amen. And you'll learn to worship Him then. And so here today, we are to be the kind of people that are making sure that there's no offense in the way we worship God, the way we honor Him, and as the Bible says here in 31, the way we are to bring glory to His name. Go on with me and look with me in verse 33. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." I don't know where you're at in your Christianity, your walk with the Lord. I don't know where you at, how you talk to God tonight. But I know one thing. I know one thing that the Bible puts upon my heart, that if I'm seeking my own profit, I'm not where God wants me at tonight. I'm not in His will. If I'm seeking what I want in a church, if I'm seeking for what I desire in a church and not seek the salvation of others, I'm not in the will of God. And that's a problem. It's a problem to our church. I'm saying that to you because there's some things that here Paul, we're going to learn tonight that he had in his life that I believe we should have also. Go over with me in chapter 10 of Romans. Mind that I tell you to keep your place there. Romans chapter 10, here we know Paul wrote the book of Romans. But in Romans chapter 10, notice some things that comes out of Paul's heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Here tonight, folks, you can discover that Paul had an overwhelming obsession about his people being saved. And I will tell you tonight that if you have no desire, if you have no concern, if you have no understanding God has placed souls in your life, He has placed an environment that is deep of souls, and if you have no concern for souls being saved, if you have no desire for souls coming to the Lord, you're not right with God. You don't have what Paul had. And God has a problem with that. You say, "Pastor, how you say that?" Back over in our verse, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." The only glory that God looks out of your life and my life is the glory of telling people about Jesus. We can be involved in church affairs today, tomorrow, year after year. But if we never involve ourselves and was tender to the heart of God, we'll never learn what heart He really has. I've been taught from the youth of my salvation that God is more concerned about souls being saved than He is about anything else. Now, mind I tell you that God's not concerned about how well you look tonight. He's not concerned about how comfortable you really are. The only thing that God's really concerned about is that if you're taking this life, the very life that He gave you, and the life that He gave you, are you glorifying Him? Are you telling folks about Jesus? Are you letting it be known that Jesus Christ is alive and He's well, and one day we're all going to give an account to Him? That's what God's concerned about. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Would you turn there with me? Colossians, keep your place in Corinthians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Chapter 1, verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You want to overcome some problems in your life? Learn to preach the word of God to people. Learn to be a help to their understanding. Learn to show them how they can get their hearts right with God and how they can walk with Him. And learn to strive and master this understanding of being a follower of Jesus Christ. You ever looked on the website? Now, I'm not talking about Joel Osteen, because I don't consider those of God. I'm not talking about Benny Hinn because, hey, I mean, I could do a lot of healing sessions myself, amen. And you might think that it's so well, you just decided to go ahead and sleep forever, amen. But I wanted to make sure I get my money out of you first, amen. But I'm talking about looking on churches, websites. Fundamental, independent, Baptist websites. You know, it ought to help you to go to Google it out and to look on fundamental, independent, biblically separated churches so that you may know that God is not dead. God is alive. There's churches all over in the fundamental, independent world where churches are building, they're expanding, they're flourishing. Why? Because people learn to be followers of Christ. Amen. And that's what it's going to take in this church. That's what it's going to take in any church for it to grow and flourish and to be what God wants it to be. Now here Paul says in Colossians, I labor. You know, that's not a bad word today, you know. That's something that you and I, we can do. Amen. You know, that's something that, in fact, Jesus says that the harvest is already to be harvested. It's ready. It's ready to be plucked up. It's ready to be sown out. And yet, we got too many people that are afraid to labor. And yet, they want God to bless them with some feelings, some emotional experience that God is in my life. You want to see God in your life? Learn to get out there and labor. Amen. Mind, I tell you a little story. You know, I was 22 years old, I think. But yet, I took this guy that was staying with in the apartment that my ma was paying for. And the rent was only $100 a week. Amen. But I was too young. I was too ignorant to realize that I needed $100 every week. And so I'm living in this apartment. I'm living off of mama. And yet I didn't understand that mama was taking care of me. But I had this friend to stay with me. And I took this friend to get a job. And I want you to know this friend, he went over to the boss man because he had an appointment with him and we were outside and we went over to the job site and this man, this guy, took the boss man over to the side and started talking to him and told him all the things that he was able to do. You know, I wasn't looking for a job. But I went there and I recognized one of the guys. Because they used to work with my Uncle Bob. And they were there putting a half round copper gutter together. And I had a little bit of experience. And this guy that was putting the gutter together, I mean, you know, he was trying. He wasn't one that was a master of his hands. He was doing his best, and I didn't want him to be embarrassed. So I got down there, and I started helping him put this gutter together. And after about 15 minutes, here comes the boss. After talking to this guy that I took for an interview, and he gets over there and he stands over and I look up at him and I remember a little bit about that and he looked down at me and it wasn't much. He didn't really ask me who I was. He didn't ask me where I came from. He didn't ask me what kind of car you're driving. This is what he asked me. He said, "Son, do you need a job?" And I said, "Sure do." "You got one. Monday morning you start." Why? Because I was willing to labor. Amen. And I want you to know, when you're willing to labor, hey, the boss man will take care of you. Amen. Hey, I want you to know tonight, hey, if you and I begin to labor for Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he'll take care of us. Amen. I mean, he'll do some things. He'll bring the Coca-Cola when you expect to get water. Amen. I mean, he'll bring a steak dinner when you're thinking, oh, you're going to get some fries. God will take care of you. But you got to be willing to labor. And so here we find a problem in our churches today because not many folks are willing to labor. They're not willing to strive according to the working that I hear Paul. Look what he says in Colossians, amen. Look what he said. I hope you didn't turn over, but it would behoove you if you see the words of God speaking into our hearts tonight. He says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." You know, God tells us in his Bible that he works out his good pleasures in our heart. Amen. See, God wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to bring glory to his name. And it'll never happen. It'll never come out unless you're willing to labor. And God's willing to glorify himself in you. And I just wonder. I wonder tonight, how's your laboring? I mean, I know it's like we're in a trend. It's like sometimes here we got VBS and there are a few folks, there are a few people that are getting the ball, but it shouldn't be that, not a few people. It should be the whole church getting the ball, excited, because God is getting ready to do something in these little kids' life. We'll never see what God can come onto the scene until you and I begin to labor. Hey, we are to have a desire that God works mightily in me. Amen. I've been young as a Christian in some places, and some places I've been old. I feel like in some ways of my life, I'm behind schedule, and it seems like I'm always trying to race to catch up. And I just feel like sometimes that I might be the last one, and it disturbs me. It's concerned because I know in the next generation, there are my children. There are my little babies right there. And I'm concerned that there aren't too many people after me that are willing to labor, that are willing to work for Jesus Christ. I learned a long time ago, and the man told me, "Hey, if you'll just be concerned about doing God's business, he'll take care of yours." Amen.
There ought to be some principles, there ought to be some understanding in our life that we're taking care of God's business, allowing ourselves to diminish from our desires, but yet we're striving for what God wants. I don't know what you see in yourself as a Christian, but of all the things you are to see God working mightily in you to become what He wants you to be. And that's where your joy is going to be. That's where your help is going to be. Amen?
Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Keep your place in Corinthians. Amen? Colossians chapter 2. Look with me. Look with me in verse 1. There's a little reading here. You don't mind reading, amen? You're sitting down, amen? So let's read verses 1 through 7. Here the Bible says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." You know, God's concerned about your spiritual growth tonight. He's concerned about how you and I am growing. And I want you to take a notice with me in verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joy and beholding," here it is, "and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Now that was read and said, but I want to bring this to your mind and to your heart, that the steadfastness of your faith is your responsibility. That's your responsibility. Your faith to stay in the Word of God. Your faith to stay your eyes on Jesus Christ. Your faith to stay where God wants you to be is your responsibility. Not the pastors.
Amen.
And tonight, we got a lot of Christians that are not willing to labor in the steadfastness of their faith. They're willing to they walk up and down. The Bible says they are tossed to and fro. They're unstable. They're untrustworthy. And that should not be in the house of God. We're trying to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And that's not bringing glory. When you and I are weak and frail, when we are just weak and we falter and we're weak and we don't care, that's a spiritual problem that God's going to look into your heart and He's going to one day hold you accountable. Here the Bible says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. You know, that establishment in the faith is simply saying you become a mature Christian. You learn to be able to take the blows. You learn to be able to take the blows that the devil gives. You learn to be able to guard yourself against the fiery darts of the devil. You learn to protect yourself in a battle, in a spiritual battle that God says every man and every woman is in. You learn to establish yourself. You know, I took a little understanding of what that means when I was a roofer. learn how to establish ourselves on the roof. And I don't know if you've ever been on a roof, and not just a roof, but if you've ever been on a metal roof, you will learn that it's hard to keep that establishment. I mean, here, you begin to put on the new roof, and days pass by, weeks pass by, and it rains, the sun comes out, and all of that, and the summer begins to pass, and yet, you get up on the roof, and you're thinking, that, hey, it's easy, I've been here before, but you get up on the roof, and you begin to realize that it's hard to stay up on the roof. Why? Because there's pollen, there's dust, there's sand, there's dirt that gets on the roof. And you get up there and it's hard to keep your establishment on the roof. Sounds like the Christian life, don't it? Things happen. I mean, pressure comes, the devil puts it on you and he puts it on me, and problems rise up and it becomes the hard to keep that establishment. But here, the Bible says that God builds us and he roots us and helps us to establish our faith. And that's something that we should take concern with. So how is your establishment tonight? How well are you walking in the faith of God? It's your responsibility. It's not even God's. God says that he'll do it. But he leaves responsibility in your hands. And so here, spiritual growth is for every man. But that growth must come upon their own decision. You know, I've been learning a lot since I've been raising kids. I mean, I've been learning a lot, amen. You know, just because you're the daddy doesn't mean they obey. I mean, you would think, hey, man, I won't go. I'm the daddy, amen. Hey, go get me a glass of Coca-Cola, amen. And they don't even pay you attention. They didn't even hear you, you know. And yet, hey, listen, folks. I don't know why I brought that up, but I do learn one thing, that God is trying to teach us to grow. And just like the children, amen, we as parents, we must teach the children how to grow. There's a proper way of growing up, and then there's a wrong way. And it should be the concern as a local church that we're concerned about the folks in our congregation. How are they growing? What are they being taught? What is being reflected in their life as a Christian, as a member of First Baptist Church? Hey, folks, you need to understand, we ought to be a church that is established. And the only way you can ever be established is by us laboring for it.
Amen.
You know, God wants us to be willing to labor in these areas. May I tell you tonight that Paul, something in his life that he had that made him different than all the other Christians we ever read about. You know, I ponder about that. I ponder about that, what that is for what was in his life. What is it that was in his life that I could gather and take and let it be part of my life? You know what I find? I find that there was one thing that he had in common with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is simply that he had passion. He had compassion. He had compassion for souls. He had compassion for his Lord to be glorified in his life. Here, Paul, go over with me in Galatians. I hope you're still there somewhere in the Bible. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. Look with me it's a point proving Paul was a lot like Jesus Christ. And notice what Paul experienced in his life. Galatians chapter 2. Are you there? Man. Look with me in verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, go on with me in verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Folks, I want to bring to you tonight, here Paul, he was one that was along with Christ. They were both crucified. We're not talking about that Paul was crucified on the cross, but the Bible says that Paul was crucified in his flesh. Every day, that flesh that he lived in, he learned to crucify it because he realized that it was Christ who lived in him and it was Christ who gave him the strength to overcome all his problems. Amen. Hey, it was something that he strove for. You and I, if we're going to be what God calls us to be glorified so that God be glorified in us, if you and I are going to glorify God, then it must be where we're striving in this flesh to crucify it with Christ so that we bring glory to him. Amen. I wonder tonight, how many of followers of Jesus are willing to crucify this flesh? How many are we willing to understand really what the flesh is? Folks, I'm not trying to preach hard tonight. But there's a driving statement tonight that we must understand. And that is simply that if you and me begins to overcome this flesh, we must labor over it. We must learn to labor to crucify this flesh. I mean, the Bible says that I must decrease so that he can increase. If you're not willing to decrease in the flesh tonight, then you're not willing to increase in the Son of God. God's not going to come in your life and he's not going to glorify himself. The Bible said that we read in John chapter 17 verse 9. Jesus says, I pray not for the world. That should be some things that we understand. We go by being rooted and building up and establishing the faith because God wants you to be successful. But if you're not willing to crucify this flesh, then you're saying that you're not willing for God to be glorified. You know, I've learned some things. I've learned some things in leadership. I've always been in the right person as in leadership. But as God is my witness, I will tell you the truth. And I know I fail at times up here and I make mistakes and all that. And I understand all that. But I want you to know that there's a driving thing in my heart that I recognize. And I recognize that I'm unable to crucify this flesh without Jesus Christ being on the scene, without him giving me the strength, without him helping me to overcome all the formalities of this flesh. I realize without Jesus Christ, I am hopeless. And I don't have the strength to overcome it. So tonight, we need to see what Paul seen. God loved me, and he gave himself for me. I don't know what that can mean for most Christians, but God gave himself, he gave his life so that I may have eternity. Can I ask you a question tonight? If God lives in your heart and he's there and you know that, then you understand what I'm saying to you.
Amen.
But if God is in your heart, may I tell you that you don't have to wait to get to eternity to realize you have eternal life. All you got to do is believe the Scriptures. And God will secure it in your heart. And so tonight, if you and I have eternal life, then what kind of eternal life do you have? I mean, you say you have eternal life. You say that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet, your life is in shambles. And you're not, your faith is very weak. And you don't realize that the wiles of the devil are out to destroy you. And they're out to destroy me. They're out to destroy anybody that's willing to serve Christ. And yet, what kind of eternal life do you have? That if God has already given you eternal life, well, what kind of eternal life do you have? Is it a selfish one? Are you selfish about your eternal life? You go around, you gloat about it. I got eternal life. And you're watching people die and go to hell. If you're that kind of person, I wouldn't gloat about it. May I tell you tonight that Paul, he had compassion for people just as well as the Savior has compassion. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 9, verse 35 and verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Where are the laborers for Christ today? Where are the souls to be harvested for Jesus Christ? Don't say that you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're not willing to go soul winning. You're not willing to tell folks about the gospel.
Amen.
Don't say you're a follower of Christ and you have no compassion on people going to hell. You know, God wants to help us tonight. And I think that tonight, the best help that we can get is submitting unto His authority. When we realize that people are going to hell, and it might be our faults, might realize that there's some things that need to be changed. Folks, I'm going to admit to you tonight, the pastor's not a perfect person. And I'm going to admit something else to you tonight, too. Since we're being truthful, I think it's all in good standards being able to say what's truth is truth. But you're not. Pastor's not a good person. Amen. Makes mistakes. Falls short. But I've learned some things, so do you. And if you and I are going to make things right, we're not going to be squabbling over our own mistakes. We're not going to be squabbling over what somebody else did before in this church. What we're going to do is that we're going to labor. We're going to strive. We're going to learn to glorify God. And we're going to become the very soul-winning church that He wants us to be. We're going to get the package out. We're going to get in the people's home. We're going to let them know, hey, there's an almighty God that loves you. And if you're willing to give your heart to Him, He'll save you. And He'll give you eternal life. That's what it's going to take. To have compassion on souls. And that's what God is looking for tonight.
Amen.
But we must strive for that. We must strive for it. Are you praying tonight for little children to come in? Are you praying for all those tigers to come out of a flat rock? Who knows? God might say, hey, I'm going to try you out. I'm going to find out what kind of heart you is. And he's going to send kids left, right. I mean, they're going to be black, green, purple, tall, fat, skinny. It don't matter. He'll send them. Amen. What kind of heart do you have? Are you willing to be a help for them to know Jesus Christ? Are you willing to take them home and get into the and take them home and meet mom and daddy and help them to come to the Lord? Hey, it don't matter what it is. God's looking on the compassion that we have in First Baptist. Are you? How's your compassion tonight? How are you at seeing souls to be right with God? Tonight, this can be a turning point for us as individuals. A turning point that we can say, no longer, no longer that we'll live our life according to the way we believe, but we'll get on the same page with God. God, use me. Use me how you want to use me and be that very thing for God. Paul not only had compassion, but Paul also had principles when it came serving the Lord. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You're already there, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me in verse 33. Here the Bible says in verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Tonight, we need to be in the business striving, might I say, I'm not seeking our own profit. The life that you have tonight should be dispensed of seeking the profit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be the ones, the followers, the kind of followers that are seeking Jesus Christ so that he be glorified. Tonight, God tells us there's no place. There's no place. There's no time. There's no more opportunities that we're going to have to serve God like we can at this moment. I would say to you today, I believe God's doing some things in our church. I've been seeing a change. A change that I've been praying for.
Amen.
A change that we need. A change that we ought to be laboring for. Because if we are not concerned for souls, if we're not going to pass out the gospel packets, if we're not going to go out into the streets and the highways and the hedges like God's commanders, then I will tell you, don't expect this church to grow. I've been in churches before, and I've seen a lot of things happen in church, but I've also seen that when the congregation was not willing to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I watched the churches fall right down and die and eventually wound up closing. And that bothers me. That bothers me. I want you to strive for God. I want you to strive that we can glorify Him. I want you to strive that we can take this church and make it a hospital for sinners. There's many folks all around Flat Rock. There's many people in your life, in my life. We ought to make it a place where people can know they can come and they can get along with God and know that God is real. And know that He's there for them. Before that happens, we need to have people that are going to be willing to stand for the truth regarding the gospel. Paul said that he became the gospel. That should be something that we should be experiencing in our life. Folks, we need to get out of this mentality. We just come to church and we hear the preacher rant and rave and we hear about all that. And when we ought to realize that it should be our very and everything that we do. The Bible says whatsoever, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It should be everything. Everything we're doing in our hearts, every purpose, every desire, every content in our life should be to glorify God and bring Him glory. Amen. Not unto ourselves. Paul had principles. He expressed them in other places of the gospel. He expressed them. He let it to be known to in other places. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth, I said unto Peter, before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, And not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? And what that's saying is that, hey, folks, we can't compel other people to live for the gospel if we're not going to live for the gospel. Amen. Amen? We can't compel other people to come to Christ if we're not coming to Christ. We can't compel people to pray if we're not praying. And Paul, he made some principles. He had some principles in his life when it came to serving God. Paul took the scriptures and he used the scriptures for his arguments. We think about and go with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul used the scriptures to close the arguments. Here it's talking about the eating of the idol meat. And so let's start reading in verse 3. The Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. So folks, hey, well, wouldn't that be a statement, amen? That if we really love God, then he's known in our hearts. People know. People understand that we love God. Amen. We don't have to make a pretend. Oh, I love Jesus. We don't have to wear a Jesus familia. Amen. You got the Jesus shirt and you got the Jesus shoestrings and you got the Jesus caps and you got the Jesus glasses. Hey, if you and I really love God, we wouldn't have to tell people. They would understand it. Amen. We wouldn't have to make some story, make something up that it makes us look good that we love God. It just come out. Amen. Verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifices unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, little gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and Lord's many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Amen? Hey, there you go. Amen? I mean, hey, you don't have to pretend things. Wouldn't that be easier to live a better Christian life that you didn't have to pretend things that just came out. It just came a part of your nature. Who you are. What you stood for. Everything about you. It would be striving to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul used to close these arguments. He used the problems of the time, and these people, they were concerned about eating the idol's meat. And Paul just he went back and forth, but he cleared up some things. Amen. One God, one Father.
Amen.
That's the kind of your conscience. See, we're concerned about our conscience on all the things that we have. We're concerned about our conscience in eating. We're concerned about our conscience in drinking. We're concerned about our conscience and if I'm doing right. Hey, if you recognize that, hey, God is there. He's watching over you. And if you realize that He's the God, the one God, the only God, if you realize that and you have a clean conscience before God, then you live for Him and you follow the Scriptures, hey, your conscience should be clean. You shouldn't be worried about hurting the weaker brother. Amen? We can get concerned about hurting the weaker brother because perhaps we may not be where God wants to be. Look with me in verse 12. Verse 12 is probably describe it. 8, verse 12 says, "But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ." I just like to bring that out. Because the fact remains that if we think that we can sin and get away with it, if we think that we can hurt one another, we can say harsh words, we don't have to be kind, if we think that we can live our life and people are to submit to me and all that, I want you to know you're sinning against Christ. Paul used the Scriptures to close his argument. Paul used the Scriptures to try to reach the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without a law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some." Folks, I want to clear that up to you today, amen. Paul was the only one, the only one in the Scriptures that was able to be in this position. You and I, we can't live towards the law so that we may save some by the law. We can't live by grace and yet save by grace. Hey, folks, you need to understand that God called you and I. We're not Paul. We can't live the life that Paul had. We can't live his ministry. And so you and I, we must understand and learn who we are. And we're people of grace. We don't live our life by the law. We live our life by grace. And so today, you're saved by grace.
Amen.
And you ought to be living by grace. Paul was sent by God to reach the Jews and the Gentiles. Peter was sent to reach the Jews. And yet, he got in trouble. Back earlier, we dealt with a little bit about it, but he got in trouble when he tried to be with the Gentiles. And yet, when Paul found him, Paul chastised him. Well, find that, I'll tell you. Amen. But I know it was in my notes. And so tonight, we need to understand that we're not to seek our own profit. So here, Paul used the scriptures to close his argument. Last of all, he used the scriptures to help the weak. Go with me to Romans chapter 14. Look with me in verse 13. Romans chapter 14. All right, Romans 14, chapter 13. Bible says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Tonight, I want to point out to you, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." What does that simply mean? Well, we get caught up with the things of the world, when in reality, we are to be caught up with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We got to help the weak brethren. We got to help those ones that aren't strong, that aren't able to serve God because they're weak. Listen, may I tell you today, may I express to you this afternoon, of all the things that God's concerned in our life. Remember I said that He's not concerned how you're living. He's not concerned where you're living. He's not concerned what you're driving. He's not concerned all these things that we put concern in, but what He is concerned is our righteousness, is our peace. He's concerned about our joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe that God wants to help us in our church in these areas. But before He can help us, we must be willing to labor. We must be willing to strive to let God be glorified.
Amen.
You know, maybe we ought to start having some teachings on this flesh. Maybe we ought to start having some teachings on how wicked this flesh can really be. You know, people are amazed when I began to talk to them with a little bit of knowledge that I do have about the flesh, but they become amazed when I tell them that if you would just allow this flesh to control you, it'll ruin you. Because that's how wicked it really is. And this flesh is controlled by the devil, it's controlled by the world, and today you are no match even to the flesh that you live in. And today, the only thing that can break that is the righteousness of God, is the peace of God, is the joy of God. And tonight, God sent His Holy Spirit so that you can overcome that. You know, a Christian that has learned to have joy in the Lord is far more better, healthier than a man or a woman that takes vitamins every day and does their best exercising and doing all these physical activities. A man that has learned to joy in the Lord has a better health than that. And I wonder tonight, as we begin to conclude our message, where's your labor for the Lord? What are you laboring? What is Christ trying to bring out? And yet, perhaps some tonight, they may be going against the grain. They may not be willing to let God have His way. And I say to you tonight, that's not what God wants. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have confidence in Him. He wants you to be able to know that He loves you. We are to make some decisions tonight. Make decisions that we're going to let the righteousness of God become what we need in our lives. Would you pray with me tonight for our church? Would you pray with me tonight for yourselves? Would you pray with me tonight for those who are weak in the faith? Because we need prayer. And we need God to do something in our lives. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, dear God. We come to You, the Heavenly Father, to ask, dear God, that, Lord, You would help us to make a distinction, Lord, in the way we follow You.